Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord again this evening. And as I was thinking and praying on what to speak on tonight, I was wondering whether I should have changed what I was going to speak on as part two from last time, or speak on something to do with the end of the year. And as the Lord lead, it turns out that we can do both. So I trust it'll be a blessing this evening. Now, if you weren't here last time I spoke, I spoke on the subject of what are you thinking, and the subject of godly thinking. And tonight, I want to carry on that theme, looking at characters in the Bible and what they thought, and it gives us a special insight as to what they were thinking. And so tonight, I'd like to call the topic of the message tonight, what were they thinking? What were they thinking? Before we look at God's word, let's just pray and commit this time to Him. Let's pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for this time tonight. We thank you for the blessing of singing praises to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here and to now concentrate for these few moments, Lord, on your word. We pray that you'll be with us, and Lord, that your Holy Spirit will illuminate your word to us to show us new truths from your word that we can learn and we can take home with us, Lord, we do pray. We thank you, Lord, for this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your Bibles tonight, you can turn with me over to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, this is where I want to start. Going to be looking at a few different Bible characters tonight and different ways that they thought. Different ways they thought. Some good, some bad. Some of them thought wisely, and some of them, the Bible gives us an insight that they had very poor in their thinking. Their thinking was not godly at all. And the first one tonight I'd like to see, my first point is called proud thinking. And if we saw, I'm not going to read the whole story here, but we'll just start with verse 1 and I'll give you a rundown of what happened here. Daniel 5 and verse 1, it says this, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and he drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against the other. Many of us know this story. Very famous story. We all learned it in Sunday school. King Belshazzar and his feast. And his very poor decision to first of all, to have the feast, but secondly, to bring out the vessels that were consecrated to the Lord out of the temple, which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. One commentator said that Nebuchadnezzar may have been his father or may have been his grandfather. So it was either one or the other. It was definitely one of his fathers, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar. We know the story well. And as we can say the least, the king was frightened and his thoughts troubled him, so much so that his knees knocked together. You heard that saying that someone is so frightened their knees are knocking. Well, this is where it comes from. And as the story goes on, if we were to read, Daniel is called to the palace to explain the writing that has been scribed into the wall. But Daniel then proceeds to explain to King Belshazzar the story of his father, his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. And this is a story that he would have known from history. And he goes on to tell him that when his heart, Nebuchadnezzar's heart, was lifted up and his mind was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. He was taken off the throne and he was made to eat grass like an ox. And Daniel here was explaining to King Belshazzar that the proud actions of his father Nebuchadnezzar had brought God's judgment upon him. And he was driven away and he was made to be like an animal and to eat. His claws grew long and until he humbled his heart and God restored his throne. And Daniel said to Belshazzar, even though you knew this, you've heard it, history has told you this, you still lifted up your heart in pride and took the vessels out of the temple. And this writing that was on the wall would say that God was going to judge the king, King Belshazzar. The king was going to be taken just as Daniel had told him. Proud thinking, thinking that he was so high he was untouchable. And you know that even we can have proud thinking. We can have a heritage that is that loves the Lord. We can have a heritage that follows the Lord, and we can be so proud of who we are that we forget our position before the Lord as sinners saved by grace. This man forgot his position before the Lord, forgot history, what history had told him had happened to his father, not because he loved God, but because he was a wicked king. Proud thinking, thinking that he was so great that not even God could touch him. And it doesn't matter who we are all in the same position before God. We are all sinners. We stand as sinners before the Lord. And if we come to know him as Saviour, we are sinners saved by grace. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this. It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Proud thinking is not only dangerous thinking, it affects our relationship with God. Because in 1 Peter 5:5, it says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. We need to be clothed with humility. The next person I want to see is, he was humble. And I've called the next point humble thinking. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We're going to look at a few passages tonight, but I think it'll do us good and keep us awake. I'm not going to be very long, so don't think it's going to be a long time. Luke chapter 7. And in Luke chapter 7, we're just going to read from verse 1. Luke chapter 7. And we're just reading a few verses from verse 1. I've called this humble thinking, humble thinking. And it says this, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So just to give you a picture here, we read here of a centurion. He's a soldier with 100 men under his command. And he sent the elders of the Jews to come to Jesus and ask him to heal his servant. If you think about this, this man was a powerful man. And he came to ask Jesus to heal his servant. His thoughtfulness for his servant is quite moving here. His position in office would mean that if his servant had have died, he would have been issued with a new servant. But no, he wanted Jesus to heal his servant. He had compassion for him. And if we read on in verse 6, it says this, "Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." Jesus is on his way to heal the servant. He's not far from the house when he receives this message. The centurion says, "I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof." And then he says, "Neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." Humble thinking, isn't it? Humble thinking. He didn't think himself worthy even to come. But he said to the Lord, "If you say the word, my servant will be healed." And if we read on, Jesus said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Humble thinking. This centurion came and presented himself humbly to the Lord. You can see the humbleness in his request. Humble thinking that even attracted the Lord's attention to his faith. This is how we ought to think. Faith and humility go hand in hand. You know, Romans 12:3 says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Humble thinking, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Humble thinking. You know, this goes against what the world teaches today. The world teaches self-reliance, look after number one. Make sure you are the top of the crew. But the Bible teaches to be humble, teaches us to be humble. Humble character begins with humble thinking. We need to think humbly. Philippians chapter 2 says this. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In lowliness of mind, humble thinking. Let's esteem each other better than ourselves. Humble thinking. The next one I'd like to see is not so good again. This is called rich thinking. Rich thinking. And we're still in Luke. Just a couple of pages to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm just going to read a few verses from verse 16. Jesus is giving a parable to the disciples, and he says this, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself," so this is what he thought, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said this, I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man had thought only of his wealth, building an empire, pulling down his barns and building bigger, laying up many stores for many years. But he paid no attention to his eternal well-being. He paid no attention to eternity. It doesn't matter what we have here on this earth, it's what we have for eternity. The only things you can take with you to eternity are not things. What we can give for one another, what we can tell each other and help each other, and we can tell others about the Saviour, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Things for eternity. Rich thinking, and see that verse 17, and he thought within himself. His thinking was all about stuff. His thinking was all about barns, bigger barns and more things in store, building an empire so that he could be comfortable. As I thought about this point of rich thinking, we're just about to finish a year and start another. This is the last message for this year. And I think all of us at some stage will have plans for the new year. There's nothing wrong with having plans. But how much of our plans are for building an empire, for laying in stores for many years? Or are we being rich toward God? That last verse in verse 21 says, So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. If we're going to have rich thinking, we need to be richly thinking about things of the Lord, thinking about what we can do, what we can help out with this year, what ministries we can do, what we can do for the Lord. So many times when you think of a new year, you think of what you can achieve. What can I do to make everything bigger? What can I do to get more? And all of us, I think, need to sit down and have a think and just think about what our priorities are for this next year. What I did, I had to sit down and think about that. What are our priorities? Are we going to be rich towards the Lord with our time and our money? Or are we trying to build that empire? Are we trying to build the bigger barns? So many times, we even as Christians, try to build these bigger barns, and the things of the Lord are left lacking. Are we aiming for financial security? You know, a lot of people talk about this financial security. If I could just get a little bit more, it'd just be great. It'd just be just that. And then they get there and they say, oh, if I could just get a little bit more and then I'd be right for a little bit longer. What does the Bible say? It says this, set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Matthew says, wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? And if we read on, he would say, consider of the lilies of the field. And Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. What are our priorities for next year? Are we rich thinking? Are we thinking of building riches for ourselves? Or are we thinking of being rich towards God? What thinking have we got? The next point I'd like to see, jump back over with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. There was many of these different aspects we could look at, characters in the Bible and how they thought, but these ones in particular just jumped out at me. This next point I'd like to bring, I've called it judgmental thinking. Judgmental thinking. 1 Samuel, I'm just going to read a few verses from verse 8. We know the story well. I'm just going to read from verse 8. It says this, "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" See, Hannah couldn't have children. And Elkanah had more than one wife back then. And the other wife would harass Hannah for not having children. And see, if we read on in verse 9, it says this, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." Eli the priest here thought that Hannah was drunk. She was pouring her heart out before the Lord, and Eli here thought that Hannah was drunk. He cast a judgment upon her and followed with a stern answer. In the next verse it says, "And Eli said unto her, How long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." Oh, how wrong he was. Easy mistake, wasn't it? But the judgment on this lady who was casting her heart and casting out her burden to the Lord was misplaced by a priest for someone that was drunk. Do you know, many times I've made this mistake. Cast a judgment on a brother or sister. Sometimes a wrong judgment like that can't be taken back. What was he thinking? He just made that judgment upon this lady. Now we can say Eli was the priest. He well and truly had to watch who came into the temple. It was his job. But it was just a simple mistake that actually cast a stern answer to this poor lady. You know that sometimes we can have judgmental thinking. Sometimes we can judge one another, and not only judgmental thinking, but we can say things in judgment of one another that can be hurtful. And we have to ask the Lord to forgive us, and most of all, ask those people if we've offended to forgive us. So often we as Christians perform a judgment on another Christian brother or sister, and later we find out our thinking was wrong. Matthew chapter 7, 1 says this, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again." We have to be careful of judgmental thinking. The next point I'd like to have a look at, 1 Corinthians. Just turn over in 1 Corinthians. I'm nearly done, so don't fall asleep. 1 Corinthians 13. A chapter that most of us would know very, very well. The great love chapter. This verse 11, it says this, When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Do you know, children are amazing, you know, how they come up with so many unusual comments, you know. I love young children, and a lot of the things our children have said that were very funny, you write them in a book and you go back on them later, or someone will say something, and it's a great time as a child. And this verse is talking about that. You know, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. And some of the things they think up, you know, I just don't know where that came from, you know, like where on earth did that come from? And it's a great time as a child. But there comes a time, then the Apostle Paul here says, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away childish things. Do you know, there comes a time when we've got to change our thinking from childish thinking, don't we? As we grow, and as we grow in the things of the Lord, and this is talking about in love, but you know, there's a lot of folk who actually still think as a child. They still act as a child. I see. I'm not casting a judgment on anything or anyone. I love to play with the children and play with different things. But you see a lot of grown men, you know, riding a skateboard in the mall. You see a lot of people that should have grown still playing the games and things that aren't mature. Yeah, and a lot of times we see people in the world today that think the whole world owes them a living, and they don't want to grow and they don't want to work. You know, I think in our society today, this is a great problem. We see men who are still playing games and things that really they should have grown out of. And this is what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, when we become a man, I put away childish things. Do you know, young men and women in the church today, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to be on the lookout for these things. Now, there's nothing wrong with playing games. I love playing games, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But I just see that a lot of times there's a certain lack of maturity, and people can't talk about things seriously. Everything's just a joke, and it just rolls from there. Do you know, I was only saying this to some young people the other day. You know, we need young people coming up in the church who are going to lead and to come and learn the things of the Lord and take the things of the Lord seriously. There's nothing wrong with playing a game. There's nothing better than playing and communicating with young people, and there's nothing wrong with playing with our children. It's fantastic. But when that is just everything and there's nothing serious, it becomes a problem. I was only talking to a good friend there only a few weeks ago that said he had a great problem with gaming. He used to spend sometimes 8 hours a day gaming in front of a screen. This young man was 21, 22, and he was saying how much of a hold it had on his life, and it was nearly ruining his life. He just could not get away from it. And you know, I think, As I call this point childish thinking, it's more immature thinking. And the devil, he wants us just to roll along with this and not to get serious about anything of the things of the Lord. He wants to distract us as much as he can. There's so many distractions today. You know, it's some of the games you can play non-stop for 10 or 12 hours, he was telling me. You know, there's a time where we've got to grow and we've got to move on from those times, and we've got to spiritually follow the Lord. We need young men and women in the church today who want to follow the Lord, to get serious about the things of the Lord and get into ministry. In a chapter of the Bible that's talking about love, I think it's a stern rebuke for the church of today. I really do. We need to take heed of what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, when I became a man, I put away childish things, childish thinking. The last thing I'd like to look at is thinking in times of failure. Mark chapter 14. Have a look over with me in Mark. There was many more characters in the Bible that I could have looked at, and I was only thinking of, as Pastor Alan was preaching this morning, and Mary, when the angel appeared to her, says that she thought on these things, and we could talk about Mary, and maybe I should have gone there. It was a great point, but I only saw it just a bit late after I was already done. But Mary thought on the things as the Lord's birth was announced, and that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. It was a great thought there, and she thought, and the baby in her womb would one day die to be her saviour. It's an amazing thought. Well, Mark chapter 14, and we see another very familiar story here. I just want to read a few verses from verse 66. And it says this, and it says, and as Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. When I thought about Peter here, and Peter denied the Lord, as many of us do. Peter denied the Lord, as many of us do. He didn't speak up for the Lord when he was asked. But I would like to see here his response. His response. The first thing I see in verse 72, he called to mind the word that Jesus has said. It came back into his mind what Jesus had said. And the second thing he did was he thought thereon. He thought about it. And then he wept. He repented. He repented, shown by his response of weeping. Do you know that Peter here, we might condemn Peter, but I think every one of us can go through this situation of denying the Lord. I think we all do. It's his response here that struck me, that when he thought thereon, Peter knew that he had denied the Lord. He knew that he had let the Lord down. But he repented. He wept. And so many times when we deny the Lord and it comes to our mind, I wonder if we confess to the Lord. I wonder if we weep. There's so many times where I could have said more for the Lord than what I've done. But my thinking was not in the way it should have been. I denied the Lord. And you know, a lot of us can, you can go and you can actually condemn Peter and you can say, oh look, you know, he was right there at the cross and yet he couldn't stand up for the Lord. But the Lord died and paid the price for our sin. And how many times at work could we have stood up for the Lord? How many times could we have spoken up for the Lord? And you know, this came into Peter's mind. He called to mind the word that Jesus had said. And I think it's good for all of us to call to mind when these times happen. Because if we call to mind when they happen, then next time we'll be able to share for the Lord. You know, Peter had the correct thinking when he confessed it. He wept. He thought on there on, and he repented. He wept and showed the Lord that he had let him down. Do you know, Peter went on to be a great disciple. He went on to be a great pastor. He went on to be a martyr for the Lord. This incident here may have driven him, I'd say. Do you know, let's let the Lord convict us, our hearts, when we need to speak for him. Let's speak for him. Let's think about talking to others about the Lord. In this new year, let's let that be a something that we need to think about. Let's let him control our thoughts. Let's let the Lord work in our hearts and our minds. Humble thinking, not judging each other, rich in the things of the Lord. And this we'll see, he will bless us for it. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for your word. And we thank you for the truths of your word. And Lord, for the insight you give us in your word as to what these men and women thought. And Lord, we pray you'd help us to think soberly and righteously and godly. Help us to speak up for your name. Help us not to judge one another. And help us, Lord, to be rich towards you. Lord, help us this year to give our lives to work and to honour your name. And Lord, to work in ministry. We pray for our church. We pray that you'll bless it. And we pray that each and every one that attends will get a blessing, Lord. We do pray. And we thank you for this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.